Thank you for tuning in to the Bethel Podcast. At Bethel, we're all about relationship. So if you're in the Phoenix area, we'd like to invite you to one of our services. Please visit BethelChandler.com for more information. Now stay tuned for a message from this week's special guest.
Boy, it's great to be with you. I love this community. I love your pastors. This feels like home away from home. It's great to be out of Canada. They finally let me out, and that's really great. Debbie and I have been enjoying a wonderful week, just resting here in cold weather. You're not supposed to have cold weather. We're supposed to have cold weather, not you, but it was still really, really great, and it's been fun to be able to serve in your church community. Today we get to talk about time and a particular aspect of it, and it's busyness. You know, when I think about what kind of pressures we experience in our life, there seems to be two primary places where we experience lots of pressure. One is in the area of our finances, which is so great to hear the kind of things that you're going to be doing in this community to help in that regard. And the other is in terms of our time. And I don't know about you, but it never feels like there's enough time to do all that needs to be done. And we have a good friend who's part of our church. He's from Zimbabwe, and he just shows up at our house. And I go, no, you don't get it. Like, you have to book like months in advance to just visit a friend. And he doesn't get any of that. And he just comes, and I just love it so much. But it feels like here in North America, there's this pressure on our time, and every bit is blocked out. And if we don't have a calendar, we're just going crazy. And the part that I find most concerning is the answer that is given to our problem with busyness, and it's this: to have time management. We're told that we need to have wide margins. Have you ever heard of that? We need to have white space, whatever that means. And we need to just have lots of time to be able to process because life is so hectic. We need to make sure that we come up with proper priorities and organize those properly so that we're spending our time wisely. And then we need to do what's only life-giving. So those of you who are parents, don't change diapers anymore. That's not life-giving. Stop that. So you only do what's life-giving, what brings you personally refreshment. And what I've noticed, as we try to manage our time, that the primary thing that gets squeezed out is the ability to love. Because that's the kind of the one thing that can go. Because we've got to work hard, and we've got to take care of all the responsibilities that we have. And it seems as though time, love, gets squeezed out of our time. Now, instead of time management, I would like to present something to you this morning. Then instead of managing our time, I believe that the Bible tells us to redeem our time. And it's a different way of thinking. So what I'd like to look at is, how do we redeem our work time and our rest time, and see if God wouldn't speak to us this morning. Let's look first of all at work. The encouraging thing to know about work is that work existed before the fall. That alone is a step of faith to believe that. Because it feels sometimes as though work is just a curse, and it's just exhausting. But God actually designed us to get this, enjoy work. That it's not meant to be, it's not inherently exhausting. Now, what then makes work tiring? And I think it's this: work is tiring when it is self-serving. Work is tiring when it's self-serving. Let's unpack that so you don't feel too bad. Psalm 127, verse 2 says this: "In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves." In Ecclesiastes 10:15, it says this: "The toil of the fool wearies them. They do not know the way to town." Now, what that means, this is an agrarian culture, and so you're out working in the farm, and town is where the fun is. And so what it's saying is, you've worked so hard, you can't even enjoy yourself. You're just so exhausted. I don't know if you've ever felt that way. I have. What's tiring is when we make work about ourselves. Now, think about how you maybe have decided what career you want. You maybe will start with, I really like Strength Finders, and maybe you'll do the Enneagram, you find out what your personality is, what your strengths are, and then you go to a career counselor, and they'll make you take a really long test, and you'll find out that you're, you know, good at working at a mortuary or something. But you figure out, this is going to be the career that is going to give me life. This is going to be the one. I just feel it. Right now, they say that we go through about 8 careers in our life because it's just not quite the one. And so we got to find a little better one. Now, what's going on there? We believe, I think, that what makes work life-giving is when we're able to give full expression to our gifts and talents and creativity and kind of what we're built to do. Now, I hope that we are able to express our gifts and talents in our work. I'm not saying anything negatively about that. But if we make work about self-fulfillment, it never quite delivers on what it promises. If we make work about ourselves, it's tiring. I see this even in terms of church. One of the things that I've noticed, I've been a pastor now for, 30 years or something. And, you know, people will come up to me, they're new in church, and they go, hey, you know, Pastor Greg, it's so great to see you. And I just want you to know that I'm just here to serve this church community. And that God's given me a gift in singing, glory to God. And I just feel as though it would, you know, I just would love to be able to bless this church community with my voice. And for sure that's not me if you've ever heard me sing, but... Or others will say, you know, I've been studying the Bible for 400 years, and I just really feel as though I can really serve this community with my gift of preaching, you know. And I go, that's fantastic. We would really love that. The primary way that people get started serving in our church is we really need help in the setup team. And so if you can just help clean the bathrooms and set up the chairs, that would be really great. And you can watch them slowly back up as we describe how service happens in our church. And here's what we've discovered. If it's not life-giving to clean the bathrooms, it'll never be life-giving to have the mic. Good. Because what brings life is not about us, it's about who we're serving. And as we settle in our heart, this is about glorifying God and serving others, it really doesn't matter what we're doing. Because what brings life is worship and love. So let's turn to that. When then is work life-giving? When we do it for love and in faith. When we do it for love and in faith. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Galatians 5, 6b. 6a is about circumcision. That's not this morning. 6b says, the only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Now that is a huge statement. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. And when we figure that out, work becomes incredibly meaningful and not tiring at all. There's a story in the Bible about Jesus in John chapter 4 about the woman at the well. Have you ever read that story? It's a great story. And the disciples are going through Samaria, which is kind of not great territory to walk through if you're a Jew. They're exhausted. They're hungry. The disciples go off to Subway to get some food. Jesus is sitting at the well, and there's a woman that he meets there. Now, if you know the story, it's an amazing encounter. He has prophetic insight into her life. She responds with faith, tells the community, the little town that she's a part of. They then come out to you. I mean, it's just an amazing story. So the disciples come back with their sandwiches and listen to what Jesus says. Jesus said to them, let me find in my notes, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. I love the disciples. They go, what? There's another Subway? Like they didn't have a clue what he's talking about. For Jesus, serving was energizing. And that when he served in faith and for love, that was a life-giving experience for him. Wouldn't it be great to be able to engage in our work in such a way that at the end of our day, we would go, what a great day. What a meaningful day. I believe that we each play a unique part in Jesus' prayer in Matthew 6:10, may your kingdom come, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Each one of us here, I believe, God has given us a job to do, a task to do, to extend his kingdom in a grand variety of ways. Before I was a pastor, I was a woodwork teacher, a woodwork and drafting teacher. Yay. And really fun. I really love all things construction. Last year, we were able to build, I don't know if you do these, we have lanes in our backyards, and then you can build a house where you would have a garage, and we call those laneway houses. We were able to do that last year. My son and daughter-in-law are living in it. It's really great. And I love all those things. If you're in construction, you have an incredibly important job in the kingdom of God. If it wasn't for electricians and plumbers and drywallers and all the other trades, we couldn't be here right now. When you do construction work, you're creating a space for love to exist. Huge gift, huge gift. Now, if you're working simply to make money, you'll always resent what you do. Have you noticed they never pay you enough? If you've noticed that. And even if you're in charge of your business, they never pay you never pay yourself enough. You never get enough thank yous. But when you do it in faith and for love, all work becomes incredibly powerful and meaningful. I love what Martin Luther King Jr. says. Maybe you've heard this quote before, but I just really like it. It says, if a man is called to be a street sweeper, we don't have those anymore, but if a man is called to be a street sweeper, he should sweep streets even as Michelangelo painted, or Beethoven played music, or Shakespeare wrote poetry. He should sweep streets so well that all the host of heaven and earth will pause to say, here lived a great street sweeper who did his job well. Isn't that great? I've noticed, at least in my city, maybe it's true in yours, I can tell what house is being rented and which one is owned. Have you noticed this? And the ones that are rented, the weeds are a little higher, the painting isn't finished, and I'm sure we can blame the landlord for that. But there's something powerful about saying, this is my house. It doesn't matter whether I'm renting or not. This is a place for me to express love in faith. Debbie and I spent so many of our years renting, and we made a commitment that when we would leave a place, it would be in better shape than when we moved in. And we would build kitchen cabinets and do whatever. You know, I'm relatively handy, so we could just fix things up. Life-giving. Life-giving. The Bible says that there's only three eternal things. Faith, hope, and love. 1 Corinthians 13:13. When you and I, get this, when you and I work in faith with hope and for love, what we do has eternal value. Now, the house that we build may not last 100 years, or it might, but the love and faith that's put into the building of that house has eternal value. And so that means that even if what we practically do doesn't exist, when we do it in faith, God sees that and blesses that for generations. And that is meaningful work. So, the first thing that God would like to redeem is those 40, 50, 60 hours a week that we work, and we redeem it with faith and love. The same is true about rest. Now, I was thinking about this. If it's true that that work is life-giving, then why would we rest? Because in my mind, the primary reason why I rest is I'm exhausted. Like, I like that we have moved beyond the Ten Commandments. It's just to work for 6 days. I prefer 5. Just because I'm so tired. And so if work is life-giving, then what is rest for if it's not just to overcome exhaustion? Well, the way that we can answer this question is by looking at God when he worked. He worked for 6 days, creating the world. Now, at the end of 6 days, he goes, "Man, I'm glad that's over. That was killing me. I mean, all the animals, and then I had to design from scratch. There's nobody to help me." Like, I mean, he can go like that, right? And so what does it mean when he says that, when it says that God rested on the seventh day? Here's what it means. It means that he stopped working and enjoyed what he made. He stopped working and enjoyed what he made, otherwise known as us. He just wants to enjoy us. So if I've built a number of chairs, and if I build a chair, the way that I rest from building the chair is I sit in the chair. I stop making the chair and I enjoy the chair. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes it's hard to stop and just enjoy. I think about our parenting or our marriages. It is critical that we stop training our children. I mean, do train them, please. But we stop training our children and we just enjoy our kids. Just enjoy them. We stop working on our marriage and we just enjoy our marriage. We just enjoy them. We just enjoy this amazing gift that's called our spouse. We enjoy our friends. We enjoy our church community. Powerful. Powerful. I'm the kind of person, if I do a fair amount of writing, I'm never finished. I'll just tweak it forever. Debbie will tell you it's true. And sometimes I have to stop and enjoy. And this is what God invites us into. There was John and Julie Gottman are a couple. They're professors at Seattle Pacific University, and they're kind of gurus in all things about marriage. And they've done long-term studies to see what destroys marriages and the quality of what a healthy marriage is. Very, very, very interesting stuff. And after 30 or so years of researching marriage, they came up with one quality above all the other qualities that healthy marriages all had in common. Would you like to know? I could stall and it would be fun. But I'll tell you that there was one quality that stood above all the rest, and it was the ability for a couple to have small talk. Like, it's not, you know, healthy communication or romance or, no, the ability to have small talk. Now, this makes tons of sense to me, because when there's a family and a marriage that's under stress, everything is serious. Everything is intense. And it's not possible just to enjoy the other person. I love so many things about my wife. One of my favorite things is I love her voice. When we were engaged, I was living in another town, and so we would just talk on the phone a lot, and I fell in love with her voice, and still to this day. And so every day I get to ask about her day, and she'll tell me about what went on. She says, "I went shopping today, and you know, broccoli's gone up in price." I go, "Oh, really? I didn't know that." Yeah, and I tried to get a buggy, but I didn't have. We have our dollar bills or coins, so we call them loonies. And I didn't have a loonie for the buggy, and then I had to go and try to find somebody. But then a nice person came, and they just gave me their loonie, and so I could use the buggy. Oh, that's so sweet. Just talking. I went home. Good. That's interesting. I just love listening to her day. I just love it. It's small talk. And I'm just enjoying listening to my wife share things that she wouldn't tell other people because other people wouldn't think it was interesting. But I do. Because it's a story about her. Oh, that we would have the faith to stop working and enjoy. I think it would change everything. So there are two dimensions of what rest looks like, and they're captured in the idea of Sabbath. Sabbath is not just a day off. Most people take days off. What makes a Sabbath, is when it's an act of faith and love. Let's look first of all at faith. Sabbath is a verb. It's to stop doing what one has done so far. That's just what it means. Faith in God's work looks like resting from ours. Let me say that again. Faith in trusting in God's provision, God's care of us, looks like stopping our work. This is not easily done, is it? Because there's always just a little bit more that could be done on that day off. Just answer an email. Just check in on a job site. It takes faith to stop working. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." The way that you and I know that God is God is when we're still. You and I can't know who God is unless we're still. It's impossible. And in the stillness, we see him for who he really is. The root word behind Sabbath is the word to breathe. And one author describes Sabbath as a breath-giving day. Isn't that a great picture of what a Sabbath would be, a breath-giving day? My professor, Dr. Bachmiel, used this description of what we should do on a Sabbath. He says, hang yourself on a clothesline and let the wind blow through. Isn't that a great picture? Well, kind of. But it's this idea that you're just letting the wind of the Spirit blow through your life. You're just hanging there, not accomplishing anything. You're just being there in the presence of God and letting the wind of his Spirit blow through your life. Oh, that we would take the time to do that. So it takes faith to rest. And rest is also expressed in love. Dr. Bachmiel goes on to say, mercy is the proper interpreter of the Sabbath commandment. Mercy is what's mostly going on inside of the Sabbath. Now, think about this. When you and I are working, it's about justice. It's about how much you get paid per hour. I mean, we're trying to redeem it with love, but just practically speaking, it's a justice moment. I'm going to work for you, and then I deserve to get this amount of wage, which will never be enough, but anyways. And it's contractual. Sabbath is a moment when we lay down our rights for justice, and we rest in the mercy of God, recognizing that all that has come our way is only because of his kindness. We need that in our hearts. I remember something clicked for me when I realized that I don't get money from my employer. My money isn't dependent on the economy. God provides. God is my provider. Well, that's radically different than but it's his mercy that is our provision. So powerful. This explains, by the way, why you and I can work at church and still participate in Sabbath. That the work that we do in a church service is an expression of mercy. We're not working to make money and provide for ourselves and be independent. We're extending mercy. Our example is Jesus himself. What did the Pharisees complain about with Jesus? What's one of the primary complaints? He worked on the Sabbath. And what they didn't realize is Jesus wasn't working on the Sabbath. He was fulfilling the Sabbath. And what do we do on the Sabbath? We give away mercy. So when he's healing people on a Sabbath, he's not working. He's distributing the mercy of God to the children of God. And that is a life-giving moment. what happens as we practice a Sabbath, it ends up spilling over into the rest of the day and the rest of the week. I like how Acts 2:47 describes what the church was like. It says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That didn't fit in an hour and a half service. I think it started there. It didn't end there. Dr. Bachmiel will tell the story. He lived in Europe, and he's Swiss. He says, when I was discipled as a young man, before church started, we would go over to our mentor's place, we'll call him that. And we just had breakfast together, and we would pray and worship and read scripture, and then we'd all go to church together. And then after church, we'd have lunch. It's just the whole day. A whole day of enjoying the presence of God in the midst of his family. What a beautiful gift of a day. And what's noteworthy is as we look at the New Testament that moves the Sabbath from the end of the week, the idea being I worked all week long, exhausted, I need a break, moves it to the front of the week, what this means is that we actually begin work in rest. We begin work refreshed in the spirit, carrying that faith and love forward into our activities. This is just good news. And so now not only do we have a day of rest, we now carry that rest forward into the rest of the week. In conclusion, God gives us, this is a faith statement. God gives us enough time and money to love him and others. But there is never enough time to be lazy, greedy, faithless, or selfish. There's never enough time for that. There's never enough time to regroup. I don't know if you try to catch your breath outside of Jesus, you just can never make your life small enough. I've tried, it doesn't work. But there's always enough time to express faith and love. Psalm 90 verse 12 says, "Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Far and away, today is the only moment you and I can impact. And what I find steals away today is my worry about tomorrow and my regret about the past. It always steals away today. But God says, care about today as long as it's called today, Hebrews 4. I like what Lord Chesterfield, isn't that an outstanding name? Would you like to be called that? Lord Sofa says, take care of the minutes, for the hours will take care of themselves. Don't we worry about the hours? What's going to happen in retirement? Like, I've got so much going on. Father, what are you inviting me to do in this moment? By faith, what does love look like here? Receiving and giving your love look like here and now here. And pretty soon, a day has been redeemed. And we end that day refreshed in the spirit because we didn't move outside of his rest, even while working. The goal is not to achieve a work-life balance. Can I say that again? That's a little controversial. The goal is not to achieve a work-life balance. It is to redeem both work and rest by making them about receiving and giving God's love by faith. Yeah, I mean, good luck trying to get a work-life balance. I'm 61 and it's not working. But all of life can be redeemed when it's about giving and receiving God's love and faith. Now, every moment isn't just something that has to be endured. It's a moment that can be enjoyed because it's in Christ. So I would like to pray for us that God would bring his freedom and life into our time, into our work, and into our rest, that we could experience the gospel practically in how we spend our time. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for the gift of time. It is a gift, and we receive that gift today. And thank you that receiving that gift looks like working and resting, and that both are redeemed with love and faith. Thank you that there's not a moment of the day that has to go by without us experiencing your life flowing into us and through us. And so would you please redeem our time for your glory? Would you redeem our time that our testimony would be that you're a practical deliverer of this hectic world that is trying to accomplish something outside of Christ. And we could bring a testimony of the peace of God that transcends understanding. Thank you for your goodness. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Bethel Church. If you'd like to connect with us, download our app using the keywords Bethel Chandler or visit us online at BethelChandler.com.